On tonight's show, we are talking football because it's almost spring, and we got the NFL Combine this week.
And because it's almost spring, we're almost into March, which means basketball. It's really, really for real this time, coming down to the wire.
Yes, it is. And Thomas, we're streaking.
I'm not looking forward to this part.
Roll it. On the show tonight, we've got...
Every night was a battle.
You can lock this in, take it to the bank.
No class at all. It's unbelievable.
They should see a relatively quick turnaround.
Show me the money!
Big water slides, snow cone truck and everything.
One team stands alone.
Well, you know what I think about Troy.
I'm losing my mind over here.
We've got the moment you've all been waiting for.
Of course.
Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen.
I swear, if we get a copyright strike because of that song.
Because of that song?
That song.
Is Clarence Carter even alive? Does anyone know? Could somebody...
Well, it doesn't matter, because if it's been 75 years, that's how the law works.
Oh, crap. All right, so...
Yeah.
Well, we're probably getting tagged. Whatever. All right, so welcome into the show, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Colin.
I'm Thomas.
And we are the Bench Boys. That was the famous Clarence Carter.
Man, imagine somebody just listening to us for the first time and just hearing that. Like, come on.
What? This is a sports podcast?
That, yeah, it is. Somewhere along the line, it will be.
Yeah, there you go.
But no, we're the Bench Boys. We're at... on Twitter at the OG Bench Boys. So while you're here, go ahead and hit that subscribe button, hit that follow button, hit the download button, I guess, if this is how your phone works with podcasts, because we're everywhere podcasts are, and we're on so many apps we can't keep track. We're on iHeart. We're on the iHeart Radio app. One of the best places to get podcasts ever, I guess.
Was that
anyway,
a commercial? Welcome into the show.
It sort of is, because we're on it, but...
yeah.
Let's get on to the actual show part of the show and not just the joke.
Well,
around.
Yeah, again, for the second week in a row, Thomas.
Yeah.
We are debuting on Tuesday.
That's right.
There you go.
That's right. It is.
We got another twofer this weekend, or this week, excuse me.
Another Tuesday, no
we,
problem.
We just wrapped up a sweet, sweet interview with another women's basketball head coach in Shanda Rigby of the Troy Trojans.
That's right. She was really fun. She was fun.
Another fun interview. Different perspective on the game because she obviously...
She did.
A lot of her career was in the JUCO route, and this was her first Division I coaching job. So she talks all about that. It had just a great, great, really fun interview that will be debuting on...
Thursday.
There you go. And so that's two things, again, for the second week in a row. This is another part of our coaches' kind of, you know, insight interviews that we're doing over the next couple of weeks. And these are obviously the two top coaches in the league that we have had on our show.
So
for
we
got to
get them
weeks.
In, yeah. You know?
So, you know, we went, we asked, and they answered. And for some odd reason, they came on the show. So, but no, it's another good interview. That one will be out Thursday, and it's good. The first one turned out great. Again, thank you to Coach Jada Williams for coming on for that one. And no, Troy and Coastal, we're going to talk about them later in the show, but it's going to be fun to watch those two teams. So.
I think in the meantime, we should go ahead and cover some of the stuff we want to cover out the gate.
Out of the gate.
You are positively the worst person right now. This is a family show, man.
Oh, no, I had to put that in the episode. I was just finishing.
Well, no, it's in now.
Oh, okay.
It's in. They just heard it again.
Welcome
the
to
second
Clarence
time.
Carter again, round two, ladies and gentlemen. okay, so what do we got here? Out the gate?
Out the gate.
Is that where we're at? All right.
That's where we're at.
All right, we're out the gate, and man, we had a lot of things happen over the weekend, particularly basketball is going. We're going to get to basketball, but we got baseball flying up right now. We got softball going on. We got a quick softball in, but... softball update last week. I just had a stroke there. Thanks, Clarence. So for baseball, though, we've got Troy.
Yeah, it's
leading the country, second in the country right now.
Tie number two. I followed number them two. This weekend. They're at this moment before the game first pitch. Troy was second in the country in scoring in runs, total runs behind Texas A&M.
Okay,
over 80 and. eight games. So they're literally scoring 10 runs a game. 10 runs
a game.
Yep.
It's pretty solid.
Looking at the standings right now.
Yeah, 7-1. They took a 2-1 series.
Imagine if Troy had beaten Louisiana Tech in that last game this weekend.
Going at 9-0 or 8-0?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that would have been great. I don't think they get ranked, though.
No, you're right, but...
No. But they do play a ranked team this weekend.
They absolutely do.
They play the number one team in the country this weekend.
Florida.
Who just swept Miami, who... that's saying something.
If Levi Thomas has anything to say about it, that ranking may come down. Like,
let me tell you something. If you guys want to watch a college baseball game this weekend, tune in Friday when Troy plays Florida.
Yep.
It's going to be... I've got Friday right. Can you check the schedule just to make sure?
Yeah. It's Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
I mean, most of the time it is that, right?
Friday.
Yeah, 28. Yeah, it's Friday.
29th is Saturday.
Yep. Yeah, 29th is kind of a big day. We'll get into that for you here in a little bit. But no, the 28th though, if you want to go see or if you want to watch really good baseball, go watch Troy versus Florida because Levi Thomas is not a hotter pitcher in the country than Levi Thomas right now.
I think it's it's also important to note, first of all, they're the best in the conference as of this moment by overall record. Mm-hmm. Obviously, things are going to change, and obviously we talked last week about how the preseason picks, the preseason rankings aren't going to matter probably when we get to conference play. But as of right now, the number two team, and I'm a little surprised by this, ULM is 5-1.
Ooh.
No, I mean, you go and look at their schedule, but it's not any teams that you could really...
It's not beautiful.
Yeah, it's Southeast Missouri State, Northwestern State, and Grambling.
Yeah.
But let's put this into perspective here. They swept Grambling State.
Yeah, what did they do to them?
They won 15-0, 7-6, and then 23-12. On a Sunday, they dropped 23 runs.
This was a baseball game.
This is a baseball game.
23 points.
23 runs.
Wasn't the XFL.
It was not. No. And you put all that together, La Monroe outscored Grambling State 45-18.
They're doing their best Troy impression.
That's what I was going to say.
That's what they're doing.
We were talking about it last week. That might not be a great team, but that's a great score. Mm-hmm. They blanked Grambling State 15-0.
Wow.
That's impressive.
That was a Friday night game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably what should happen on a Friday night game.
Yeah, I think still the shocker is where Louisiana is, you know, 2-6. And you know, Coastal's kind of getting into their groove a little bit. But Louisiana just, you know, they had Virginia Tech and they got that Friday night win, which is a good win, and then kind of two low-scoring games against the Hokies out of the ACC. And
realistically, what games should they have won? Southeastern Louisiana, that's one. Do you think they should have picked up a game against Louisiana Tech?
I think they should have beaten Tulane. I know Tulane.
They should have beaten Tulane.
I know. And Virginia Tech, I mean, they're a good ACC club, but they're like middle of the pack. I wouldn't put them in the upper echelon of ACC.
But it's
schools.
It's also a power five.
It is a power five. I will give them that. But I mean, the Louisiana Tech, the 10-0 drubbing from Louisiana Tech, that's just a little
should have at
shocking.
Least been closer.
Yeah, you kind of wonder where the bats are right now.
That is the question.
Lafayette, Louisiana,
because they're looking at 0 runs, 2 runs, 2 runs, 2 games of pretty decent runs.
They haven't scored double digits yet, though.
No, they haven't,
and that's just not what we're used to seeing.
And they didn't break double digits against Southeastern Louisiana.
Yeah, so I'm just wondering where the bats are right there in Lafayette. Coastal seems to be putting stuff together.
They're on a two-game win streak.
Two-game winning streak.
They won Kennesaw State, and they beat West Virginia 14-2. Oh man, that is what you need to do against a Power 5 team.
They play a pretty good series against Maryland. Maryland's got a good baseball team. Troy is they play the number one team in the country, and it's a three-game series. This isn't a midweek tilt. This is a three-game weekend series where you're going to get their best pitchers against Troy's best pitchers. And Troy, I mean, it's going to be very tough. I think Friday night is Troy's best chance to win. Because their day two guy is still solid, but their Friday night with Levi Thomas on the mound.
He was my player of the week last week. That's why I'm not picking him again this week. I got to be fair to every other sport we're playing, but
It's tough not to pick him.
Exactly. I picked him well already. So
I mean, he had 11 strikeouts in this week. 25 strikeouts and 11 innings of work.
So, yeah.
That's given up, I think, two hits, maybe three.
Tops.
Incredible start to his season. That's the baseball rundown. Troy and ULM right now taking kind of the reins early on. There's a lot of baseball.
I expect
left.
ULM to drop more. And Troy should drop a few more this weekend. It's right now we're in the early part of the season, so it's not as big of a deal. But Troy's showing is pretty strong.
Yeah.
The record is pretty strong. I'm impressed. I'm honestly impressed that Troy pulled off the series win against Louisiana Tech. And not to get into any more Troy, but that's where it stands.
Yeah.
The numbers are the numbers.
Yeah, the thing that I'm looking for here. Okay, there it is. We're going to transition from one sport where you swing at and the ball's moving to the sport where you swing at and the ball doesn't move. There's a transition for you, Thomas.
Works for me.
Yeah. We're going into women's golf because I have to throw a little bit of golf in. It's springtime, you know, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
We got to give a quick shout out to the Arkansas State women's golf team. Back-to-back winners of their last two tournaments. They went to Rio Verde out in Arizona and won by 12 shots this past weekend, which in golf, that's a butt-whooping.
Yeah, I was about to say.
That is a butt-whooping. They were the only team in the entire field to break 300 every single day. Everyone else had trouble breaking 300. So that right there explains exactly why they.
What is the top competition?
Northern Illinois, Xavier. We had Little Rock was also in that tournament. Boise State, Ohio University, Western Michigan. This early in the spring, a lot of those Midwest teams will go as far south as they possibly can because there's no way
right.
in hell that they're going to play golf.
Boise State should not be playing in Idaho right now. They'll be playing on permafrost.
No, I mean, Western Michigan, nope. Central Michigan, nope. Bowling Green, nope. They aren't playing golf right now. I can tell you that. Those golf courses are not open. So great win for them, a 12-shot win. They get a win over Little Rock, who's also a Sun Belt team as well. So that's always good. I mean, a big win over Little Rock. So 289 in round two that's some serious stuff. That's a one over par right there. Depending on how the course was playing.
How many players are on the team? I'm not a golf guy.
So for golf, you have five players that play. You take the top four scores.
Okay.
So if it's 72 times four, that's 288.
So they're at about a 72. Yeah.
Yeah. So they shot one over par for round two. That's solid. That is that's a solid round right there. And then they go 292 in round three. So only three over par. So, four over par because it was playing par 72, I guess. So, but either way, they incredible round for those two. And to get two wins, very, very solid this early into the season because you've got, They'll probably have four or five tournaments left. So to get two underneath the belt, solid.
I think it's worth mentioning and at least getting on a little bit of a tangent here to say football is the only real sport where the quote-unquote preseason games actually matter. Mm-hmm. Like, because when you get into baseball and basketball, you have these early non-con games mm-hmm. that they could go either way because you don't know the team very well. And you have more games than you do in football. Mm-hmm. But in golf, in baseball, in basketball, in softball.
These are resume builders.
Yes.
That's what this is.
Even if you are ULM playing a 5-1, going 5-1 against nobodies in baseball, mm-hmm. if you can stretch that out to a 10-1, even if it is against nobodies, mm-hmm. that's still pretty good. It gives you a huge advantage going into this regular season. And actually, we're going to get to why that's important in a little bit.
Yeah, we will. Just a quick shout out to them. Currently, for the 29th, for the fall, because they play in the fall too in that transition. So the 2019-2020 season, Troy and Arkansas State are the only two schools that have wins. Both of them have two wins on the year. Troy got two in the fall. Arkansas State has two in the spring. So Coastal, Troy, Arkansas State, I think those are your top three. This is very early for women's golf teams that you need to be watching out for when it comes to later on the season when they get into the Sun Belt.
And believe you me, Colin will be keeping up with that throughout the season for golf. Something else we're going to be keeping out an eye on for is the NFL Combine.
Ooh.
We're going to go ahead and breeze through this real quickly because we already covered it pretty well episode.
As this episode comes out, it's day two.
Yes.
Yesterday, Monday, you had quarterbacks, I think wide receivers and tight ends.
Yes, so first. We saw We saw Omar Bayless out there.
Yes.
But not to jump the gun here, but Omar Bayless, our player of the year last year mm-hmm. in football,
mm-hmm.
Just a fantastic athlete. Showed up in day one. They had their measurements. Did they do anything else besides measurements, or they just kind of
just measurements? I'm trying to see here if there was.
While you're looking that up, I'm gonna go ahead and run back down the line for those who aren't necessarily in the know. But 7 Sun Belt players in the combine this year, and a lot of them, some of them have pretty good chances of getting drafted. App State, 2 players, the best team in the conference, has 2 players in there. Akeem Davis-Gaither, that linebacker, we talked about him before. He's an anchor on that defense. Darrington Evans, a running back. We've talked about him throughout the fall. Just a fantastic, just back that will pick up yards however necessary. Georgia Southern, both of their players were in the Senior Bowl back in January. Tyler Bass, the kicker, and Kendall Vildor, the cornerback, both of them showed up and showed out. Tyler Bass was the only kicker to make all 3 extra point attempts, and Kendall Vildor actually recorded an interception during the game on Saturday. So, Senior Bowl in Mobile being a really big boost for Georgia Southern Athletics. And finally, Raging Cajuns, Louisiana has 2 players in the combine. Raymond Calais, a running back, part of that 3-headed monster we talked about all season. And Robert Hunt, probably the reason they had a 3-headed running back, that anchor on the offensive line. Those are your 7 guys, 4 teams. Keep an eye on them if you're ever watching the combine. Keep an eye out for your Sun Belt love. And
I got you something. They did measurements basically today.
Yeah, that's all they did.
Omar got measured today. I was trying to find Raymond Calais, couldn't find anything. Mm. Omar, but Arkansas State's kind of taking some heat right now.
Oh, yeah.
So Ark State on their website has him listed, I think, at 6'3".
Uh-huh.
Omar Bayless came in at a height of 6 feet. That's it. And 6/8. He wasn't even 6'1".
He wasn't even 6'1".
Yeah. 212, hand size 9, arm length 31.78, and wingspan of 76 inches.
That's a smaller dude than, yeah.
So, yeah, so a lot of people are taking some heat on to Arkansas State saying that he came in at 6'3". That's a full 3 inches off.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting. I did see there's an Iowa quarterback, Nate Stanley. A lot of people throughout the entire season said he was like 6'5". He came in 6'3 and 6/8. So, like, yeah, it's like an inch.
That makes sense. Eh. That you can push.
Maybe he had
that
his shoes on when he got measured.
Right, that's right. What I'm thinking. You wear your cleats in there, but
yeah.
Omar,
three inches is.
That's little. That's nothing. That's not necessarily the worst thing for Omar to be shorter than, you know, projected, but.
Yeah, I think it was just wide receivers and quarterbacks.
It doesn't. It doesn't look great for the school.
No, but again, this was the thing that I saw early was they were talking about hand size, and somebody brought up this guy that was talking about Teddy Bridgewater and the fact that his hand size was only 9 1/4. I guess it was a quarter.
Right.
That's how big his hand was. It's like, oh, that's really surprising. Like he must have worn like 2 gloves for the football, and then the same guy said that Garoppolo, this was the same draft, oh, his hands were 9 1/4, and said, oh, that's good, that's okay. And everybody's like, what the heck, dude? Like, and so today, the interesting part was that, I guess, Joe Burrow,
yes,
his hands came
Heisman
in
winner, yeah,
small at 9, and some people were giving him hell, but I'm sorry, go look at his tape. Go look at what he done on the
field.
I don't care what his hand size is. The guy can sling it.
And like, that's what he tweeted about. He said, well, I guess I'm retiring now, guys.
Yeah, I guess, you know, these guys told me my hands are small, so I shouldn't play football anymore.
And I think Omar, you said he had a 9-inch hand.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty safe to say that Omar's in that camp as well. Go look at the tape.
Yeah,
don't lie.
Joe Burrow said, considering retirement after I was formed, after I was informed the football will be slipping out of my tiny hands, please keep me in your thoughts. So, yeah.
It's okay, Joe. We will keep you in your thoughts.
It's okay, Joe. We'll pray for you and your millions of dollars.
I'm so sorry that your football career had to end that way.
Yeah.
But you hit the highs, man. You will always be a legend in Louisiana.
It just really is interesting, like, how nitpicky some of these guys get.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of these guys, that they aren't in any NFL rooms. They don't know what these guys are looking for. And, oh, his hands are small, so he's not going to be a good quarterback. Dude, you're an idiot, man.
I hate the man with every fiber of my being, but Drew Brees, he's about my height. He's a fantastic quarterback.
Thomas is a Falcons fan, as we've duly noted on the show.
Absolutely. But, like... He's a surefire Hall of Famer.
Oh, yeah.
And he's only, what, 5'10", 5'8", 5'9"?
No, I think he's like 5'10".
Probably.
Yeah.
But that's well below average.
Wilson.
That's
yeah.
Well below
the
average.
Shortest quarterback was Tua. That it measured out. The shortest, like, height-wise was
yeah.
Tua. But we all know how good Tua is. So it's just, in today's game, I don't think it's as big a factor as what it was 50 years ago or 30 years ago when you had a guy that was 6'5", like Ben Roethlisberger, that just, I mean, he was just that, like, the kids nowadays are so smart. They're so technically sound because of just how coaching has changed through high school and college that you can have hands that are 9 inches and look what happened. He just won a Heisman and he did it running away. I liked how he handled it though. It was pretty
good. That is really funny. So. And I think the last little bit, I'm actually going to squeeze this one in just on the side note because, I just got the notification.
Okay.
We have our track and field championship going on right now for Sunbelt.
It is going on.
So right now, our track and field standings right now for the women indoor track and field team standings after day one. Arkansas State leads the pack, followed by South Alabama and Troy. That's your 1-2-3, Arkansas yeah. State, South Alabama, and
I'm
Troy.
I'm
going
to put my money on Arkansas State winning
it. I would,
it
too.
Because they're just insane at track and field in the Sunbelt. They win
yeah.
a lot.
And it goes the other way for the men, too, because they're number one.
Yeah.
South Alabama's tied for number one, and number three is Texas State. So Arkansas State leading both men and women indoor track and field. South Alabama either tied or in second there. So, yeah, if you care about track and field, mm-hmm. there's your picks right there.
Yeah. I'm looking at a lot of people's list about Darrington Evans. And just, you know, they're all putting him, Darrington Evans obviously out of App State, they're all putting him kind of that tier three of the running backs coming out this year. Some people have him in tier two, some have him in tier three. Tier two would be amazing. That would put him in the top 10 running backs.
Right.
I think he's more of a tier three guy. I think he's going to be a really interesting player to come out. We've said before.
Who do you think is the most likely player to get drafted?
Omar Bayless. No doubt. The kid is just, his numbers are, him and Akeem are really close.
That's what I was going to say.
Akeem
is my pick.
Akeem did a lot at Senior Bowl, and I would be really shocked if Akeem doesn't get drafted.
Right.
Because he's just, I think he jumped off the page when people saw him at the Senior Bowl and just how much he could cover from sideline to sideline was incredible to watch. And so I think Akeem and Omar will be a guy. Tyler Bass might be like a really late steal. Like somebody might use a 7th round pick on him because he's got a great leg and he showed that off as well. Robert Hunt, he had some injury problems. I don't know what that's going to do to his draft profile. We'll see how he handles. I mean, obviously he's going to be at the combine. He did not play in the Senior Bowl because they wanted him to be available and be ready for the combine. And they didn't want to have any obstacle or anything impeding his recovery at all. So that, I mean, for him to not play in the Senior Bowl, they're weighing a lot on his recovery to be able to be available for the combine.
And
so
we'll keep an eye on it and
risk.
See exactly how that plays out for them.
Yep.
It's
gonna be a fun week. I love doing it. The 40 times are fun to watch. I think Rich Eisen, I don't know if you know him. He's from the NFL.
Yeah.
He's from the NFL Network. They always have him run a 40, which is really fun. And then they put like the fastest guy who will probably be, and you can quote me on this, will probably be Henry Ruggs this year.
Probably.
They put like him up against the fastest guy and they give him like, not like, they do like the shadow kind of racing where
they just, the ghost.
And the ghost racing, and they'll like give him a 10 second, they'll give him a 10 yard like head start, and then like you'll just see the player zoom by him. I think last year he lost to like a man that was like 325 pounds. Like there was a 325 pound like O lineman that ran a faster 40 than him, and he's like, I think he's like a 215. it's cool. This is what I think. Me and my friends got into this. I know I'm going off a little bit here, but it's like the Olympics where I think they should just put an average person in all the Olympic stuff.
Yeah.
Just to show like how incredible these people are. Like I think they need to do that at the combine. Like just go get like 5 dudes out at a bar and say, hey, we're going to have you come run a 40 and see how many times you can bench 225 and how high and how far you can jump.
Come on and just do this shuttle drill.
Just
real
quick.
Just
do it really quick. We're going to see what, and then just play that and just be like, this is what the normal person would do. Like that, I really think they should do that because I think a lot of people would be like, okay, this is incredible what we're watching. So, yep. It's going to be a fun week watching them and watching all these players. And obviously we're still a couple months from the draft, but this is a huge, huge moment for these seven guys.
Yep. And we'll keep an eye on them as well. In the meantime, let's go to the sport that's sort of dominating right now. The one that's, it's getting close to championship season, so let's go around the belt.
Around the belt.
And around the belt brings us to the hard court, right? Is that the hard top?
It's not technically either one, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know if I like that. Hardwood, not the hard court. Okay, 3, 2, 1. And around the belt brings us to the hardwood, both for the women's and men's basketball team. Thank you, audience, for the shout-out and the clarification.
I'm not cutting that.
You're not cutting that? Oh, no, Lord.
They just heard it. It's funny.
All right. Well, it's how we do things here. We're talking men's and women's basketball. We are just about into March. What is today's date? Like the 24th or something? I don't even know.
Yeah, it's close enough to the 29th for me.
That's what day it is. We're talking men's and women's basketball. First of all, I'm going to get my Been On Sports Player of the Week. It's not really a player. It's a coach, and I think he deserves it. Mr. Joe Foley, who is the head coach, who is the dean, the godfather of Sun Belt basketball. If you go to any coach around the league, they call him the godfather. He's been here since about 2003.
Come to me on the day of my conference tournament.
Joe Foley got his 800th career victory this weekend with a win over South Alabama. He tried for his 800 win 4 times previously and they could not get that win for him.
You want to know how I know that? He has a 1-game win streak.
He does, yeah. He finally got his 800 win. This guy, I mean, just going and looking, I've never met Joe Foley. We should probably have him on a show. He was the 2010, 11, 15, 17, 18 Sun Belt Conference Coach of the Year, the 2010 Russell Athletic WBCA Regional Coach of the Year, has led Little Rock Women's Basketball Program to 20 win seasons in 12 of the last 13 years,
okay,
Thomas.
I'm going to retract my statement because we're obviously talking about women's basketball.
Yep.
And Little Rock has a 1-game win streak in men's basketball.
Oh, well, they have a 1-game winning streak in women's basketball, too, because they have a 4-game skid. So
that was
okay.
A test. I was testing you.
There you go. You did okay.
Yeah.
Just an incredible. I mean, he is the godfather. He is the dean. He has done amazing things at Little Rock. 800 career victory.
That's impressive. How long has he been there?
Since 2003. That's when he first started coaching for Little Rock. So he's working on his 17th season basically this year. Maybe 16, I guess 16, 17 years. He's just incredible. Compiled the most overall wins, 29 conference victories, 18 in a season. I mean, just the guy owns the Sun Belt.
Yeah, like
when it comes to that.
Oh,
so
his 800 career or 800 at Little Rock?
800 career. So he is at the beginning of the season, he was 333 and 174. He had 333 wins at Little Rock. So I think they've got like 14 on the year. I'm not really sure what their total is. So he's close to probably 350 at Little Rock, but he has they're at about 320, almost 350. He has 800 career wins.
That's impressive.
He was at Arkansas Tech, I believe. Before he got here.
Bull Weevils, I think.
Yeah, something like that. He's an incredible coach, and it's an incredible milestone, his 800 wins. You've got to be pretty good at the game to get there. So just quote, he goes, I'm relieved that we played the game the way it should be, and he was referencing the fact that Little Rock shot 57% from the field and then had a little comeback 11-point victory over South Alabama on Saturday. He said, I believe nobody's going to ask me about 800 anymore. He goes, I'm tired. It's two good things happening today, but most importantly, our kids got their win. So, obviously, focus on the win.
It's not about him.
You've done it 800 times. It probably gets a little old after doing it 800 times, maybe.
I don't think winning ever gets old.
Yeah, probably not. So, he is my Been On Sports Player of the Week and Player Coach of the Week, I guess. And we did a little bit shout out. Happy birthday, Ben. The guys helped us out a lot on this show. Been a big, big part, big sponsor. Always a big contributor to the show as well with a lot of good information. And he's also part of the, What's the wall?
It called? The Trojan wall.
Sorry, I blanked there. He's had a lot of great articles as well and helped us out a lot. So, but no, that's my Been On Sports player of the week.
Well, before we get any further, I'm going to go ahead and fix myself because the Wonder Boys, Arkansas Tech is the Wonder Boys.
No way.
Yeah.
They are called the Wonder Boys?
They're called the Wonder Boys.
What?
Yeah, let me back
this
up.
Even the women's team is called the Wonder Boys?
No, because the Wonder Boys are called the Golden Suns.
Wow.
The Wonder Boys and Golden Suns. Now, I was thinking of Arkansas Monticello, which are the Weevils and the Cotton Blossoms. So they're four completely different.
You guys are awesome.
Completely different mascot names
for the women's
for two teams. Different teams. Yeah, exactly. So
Arkansas, you do it big.
Why?
We
got
to talk
right?
to Chase about what the hell is going on in that state.
We do. We do. But so, yeah. what you can say is in both cases, Arkansas is winning the Sun Belt Conference right now. Little Rock is at the top of the men's basketball standing. Mm-hmm. I just told you they had a one-game win streak. They absolutely do.
They absolutely do.
19-9 overall. They're the only team with single-digit losses at this point in the year.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's safe to say that this team right here, Texas State, is starting to close the gap. They're at 19-10 overall, and they're about a game and a half behind the conference in the conference total.
Yeah, they're on their heels. We talked a little bit about them a couple weeks ago, but go two more rows down, buddy, and that's where you'll find, I think, the scariest team in the league right there because they are hitting their stride, and that is South Alabama.
Anything can happen in February.
They've won six in a row. We're going to talk about them here in a little bit. But no, Richie Riley's got something going. I think they're meshing, and this is going to be a downright scary team when it comes to the tournament. They've got a big game against Troy this coming Saturday.
Yep.
And then they finish with Texas State. So they could make a lot of, you know, that game against Texas State, that could be some seeding game. That's a seeding game right there.
Oh, it absolutely is.
Are you going to be on the one side or are you going to be on your other side?
We pointed at this out last week, I think. Georgia Southern, that game was away. Troy was away. Appalachian State was away, and Coastal Carolina was away. That's four of the six wins,
mm-hmm.
and they're all on the road. They only have two home games remaining,
yep.
and if they win those two, they will be 13-7,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty much where Little Rock is right now.
They're only a game behind Texas State right now, too. So that final game against Texas State is going to be a big one, and then
absolutely.
Little Rock, I think, has Georgia State to finish out the year as well. So it's going to be a really, really exciting last week for men's basketball.
But right now, I think I have to stick with Texas State because they're on a four-game win streak right now,
mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, it's not a six-game win streak, but it is a four-game win streak. And yes, ignore that. They're all at home.
Mm-hmm.
But they've won all these games. Little Rock, Georgia State, Georgia Southern.
Man, they had four straight games at home.
They had four straight games at home, and they won them all. And you know who was a big factor in that?
They went, wow.
Yeah.
What a schedule set up for them, though.
Right?
How many? Seven of their last nine
they
games have been home?
Yes.
Wow.
Wait, no. One, two, three, four. Seven of the last nine. Yeah. And
seven
they don't even
the
leave
nine.
The state for the last game until the last game of the season because they're at UTA in Arlington.
They sure do like the Texas teams.
You're right. And this is where I'm going to go pull my player of the week because I could be picking a ton of players.
Mm-hmm.
This guy right here, Alonzo Sewell, let's look at his stats against Little Rock. 26 points and 10 rebounds against the top team in the conference. He pulled a double-double against Little Rock.
Solid.
This other guy, Eric Terry, against mm-hmm. Georgia State,
mm-hmm.
20 points. He scored 20 points on what was the number two team in the conference at the time. But that's those two players, worth a mention, but they're not my player of the week. My player of the week is a Bobcat, and his name is Nigel Pearson. Against Georgia State, 18 points, 9 rebounds, 3 steals.
Mm.
3 assists, 3 steals, and
sad.
9 defensive rebounds. They were all defensive. I mean, that's what happens when it's 0 and a 9. He's cleaning the boards. Mm. He's stealing it, getting it back, and then most importantly, when he gets the opportunity, he's scoring. I don't know what his percentage is.
Played 40 minutes in that game. That's the whole game, buddy.
He did, yeah. He
that's a lot of work.
He controlled the game and commanded the game. Let's look at his stats against Little Rock here, too. 15 points, 6 rebounds. He didn't lead the team. That was Alonzo.
37 minutes that game, too.
Yeah.
Wow.
This guy is on the floor for them. He is the field commander.
That's a
he is getting
general.
The ball back and dispersing it and making points count. My player of the week, Nigel Pearson, for Texas State. Right now, he's the guy I want heading into March. He's the guy I want heading into the conference tournament. And he's a big reason that they have a four-game win streak and they are knocking on the door against Little Rock.
I know a couple weeks ago we talked about Little Rock basically kind of almost being able to shut the door, and they kind of went on a little skid there. They've kind of got back onto it with the one game, with a, you know, snap that skid. But it's going to be interesting to see how it all shakes out. So let's roll over to the women's side of things. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, absolutely.
We've basically got a two-dog race. I'm going to declare it right now. I know we have UTA sitting at 9-4, but there's three games left, and they're basically 2.5 games behind behind the first and second place with Coastal and Troy. Coastal and Troy are just far and ahead, better than everybody in this league. Both 20 game winners. Mm-hmm. Coastal sitting at 23-3. Troy sitting at 22-4. Coastal's on a winning streak of their own, which we'll get to. But both sitting at 13-2. And really, other than Louisiana giving them a shake for Troy, Coastal's the only team that has beaten them. And then Coastal, their only two losses in conference were to Troy was one of them, and then their other one was, trying to find it here, it's their last loss. Goodness, I'm having trouble. Oh, Arkansas State, 63-61. So, but no, those are the two teams. We talked to Jada Williams last week about her team. We're talking to Shanda Rigby about her team this week. They're the two best teams. I'd love to see a part three. Troy did some work this weekend or this past week, getting back into the winning column after they took that, you know, after they kind of took one in the chin, from Coastal, and they've kind of just handled business. I mean, Arkansas State 15 point win, and then, Little Rock 16 point win and a 20 point win over App State. That's just what you think that's what should happen. So, but here's the thing. The two teams are both tied right now
in conference. Yeah.
In conference at 13-2.
Yes.
So
they both have three games remaining.
If they both win out, I'm going to give you the three games. Troy plays at South Alabama,
probably
at
win.
Little Rock,
probably
and
win
at Arkansas State.
Definitely win.
They are on the road for their last three games. They got to go play Joe Foley, who we just talked about winning 800 games. That's tough. South Alabama and Terry Fowler is going to be a tough game.
It's a rivalry game.
And then Arkansas State, they played Arkansas State just a couple weeks ago. Last week. I mean, they handled them at home, won by 15. That's the only probably gimme game I'm going to give them.
Yeah.
But their last three games are something fierce. I mean, you're on the road all three of those games, and you go and you look at Coastal Carolina's last three games, and they get ULM at home. They
win.
Get Louisiana at home, man. And they get App State at home. So it's literally the polar opposite. One team's going on the road and has to do it.
Okay.
The other team gets to sit at home and has to do it.
Hold up.
Yeah.
Okay. Polar opposite?
ULM is where?
At the very bottom.
They have won three games. That is a gimme. Louisiana, that's the team. I know I tagged Louisiana last week. I said they're a dangerous team because they know how to beat Troy. And then App State, who's also 6-9 in conference, and what's their overall record?
9-17.
There you go. So two teams don't even have double digit wins, and the other team is 15-10. So they only get one tough game, and they get it at home. That is the biggest thing. They don't have to travel anywhere, and they get to go play ULM and App State. Who, I mean, they played App State a few weeks ago and beat them 80-53. They aren't going to have any trouble with him, and they did that on the road. They get him at home. So Troy definitely behind the eight ball when it comes to the schedule part.
I have to disagree with you. ULM is the gimme game there. Coastal will absolutely crush ULM. I'll give you that. But otherwise, I don't think that's an opposite. Because if you look, Troy's three teams are literally on the outside of Coastal's two teams.
Mm-hmm.
Little Rock is 11-15.
Mm-hmm.
Arkansas State, 9-17.
Mm-hmm.
Those are two of Troy's teams to play. Yeah, South. South is literally on the level of Louisiana.
Mm-hmm. But they have to do it on the road.
That may be the difference.
Coastal
but
gets them all at home.
You said the teams were the exact opposite. I think they're comparable schedules.
Comparable.
Apart from ULM.
ULM is the gimme game, but the fact that Coastal doesn't have to go anywhere and that home court advantage, that's the kicker. Is you're sitting at number one and you got everybody coming to you. You don't have to go into a hostile environment, because let me tell you, Saturday for that Troy South Alabama game, that's going to be a hostile environment. Because South is trying to make a little run, trying to get some seeding. They're trying to get up into maybe that four spot if they can win out. But that is what that is. These other three teams, other than App State, and I guess Louisiana's trying to make a little run, trying to do some seeding as well. But still, they get them at home. That's such a difference in college basketball.
But
when you get to play a team at home,
the teams apart from ULM are not the exact opposite.
I'd love to see. I can't pull it up on this, but I'd love to see Coastal's home court record this season. That would be very interesting. So
I don't know if we can pull that up. But
both teams sitting at 13-2. If both win out, they both tie in conference, and they both split the head to head.
Right.
So that we're gonna get into this right now. That takes out head to head. That takes out option A, right? Which is the head to head against each other. Was
yes.
that option A? Okay. And then option B was the overall record, right? I think that's how we
something to that effect. I think those were the
I know
two.
You send it to me.
Those
right?
were the two that mattered. Those were the only two that did matter, because
yeah,
the
okay,
other
I've got
two
it right here. You said highest win loss percentage of head to head competition during the regular season. So that would be the head to head. And then each team's win-loss percentage versus the team occupying the highest position in the final regular season standings.
That is a comparison against the team that would win the regular season. That does not apply here. B does not apply here, because this is a battle for the regular season.
Okay.
So you can skip that.
Okay. So C, when arriving at another group of tied teams, while comparing records, use each team's record against the collective tied teams as a group prior to that group's own tie-breaking procedure.
Again, there is no prior team here, so you just skip C.
So we're looking at D, which is if the records are all the same against all teams, then the seeded position would be determined by a toss of the coin.
By Commissioner Keith Gill.
There you go.
So
we are looking at possible coin flip?
Not really, because if we're looking at highest win-loss percentage, yeah. Coastal has a one-game advantage yep. over Troy. Right now, Coastal is 23-3. Troy is 22-4.
So if they both win out, Coastal will be 26-3, and Troy will be 25-4, which would mean
Coastal
has
wins by a hair,
because they did not play a single
Mississippi State.
They
dude.
Did not play a single Power Five opponent in their non-con.
So, well, let's go back to what I was saying. That all-important non-conference preseason schedule, mm-hmm. it will eventually come back to matter.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting.
It's very interesting.
A lot of people talked football with Washington last year or 2 years ago when they made it into the playoff. And that,
right.
Well, Washington didn't play anybody. They didn't play a big Power Five. Well, they went undefeated.
And they played in
the Power Five conference.
There's a whole argument to be made there, because I could sit here all day
That's
and argue
a whole different
about
thing.
It.
But still.
But the point is, even if there is no strength of schedule, if you're winning your games, you yep. win all your games,
yep.
you deserve the right, you've earned the right
yeah.
to be at the top. So
Man.
That's my two cents. That's my final word, whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
So
it's very interesting. It's going to be really fun watching those two teams. And then we've also got the conference tournament coming up here. I am hoping for a Troy and Coastal part three.
Oh, absolutely.
It's going to be
anything
epic.
Less would be a disservice to the race that these two teams have played.
Yeah.
If either of those teams are upset by UTA, Louisiana,
yeah.
Little Rock, it'll just be sad for the conference.
Yes. All right. Well, that's what we got for men's and women's basketball. And we've got one more thing, and let's hit the final word.
Final word.
And final word, we're going streaking, Thomas. We've been talking about it all night long.
Yeah, let's
do it. It's finally dark out, so we can finally do it.
I mean, nobody's watching anyway.
Yeah, nobody's watching. So
you can't see us. This is a podcast. That's
we don't
the whole
have
point
the video
of the
on tonight. That's good. So
right.
So no, we're talking teams that are streaking in basketball, men's baseball, Hell, let's. You want to pull up softball really quick? See if there's anybody with softball.
Give me a second to pull it up.
While you're doing that, we're going to start out with men's basketball. We've got a couple of streaking teams. South Alabama, we talked about them. They are on a 6-game winning streak, Thomas. Richie Riley's really got something going on there. Now, there's a team that isn't. Troy, for one thing. They're on a 5-game losing streak. They were at 9-15 and now sitting at 9-20. The rough first season for Coach Scott Cross as it comes to an end. And then also, we kind of highlighted, I remember we talked about Arkansas State. They were 15-7. I remember we talked about them and we were like, that's kind of a surprise team to be sitting at 15-7. And then they came back down to earth, and Arkansas State has lost 7 in a row and now are just 1 game over 500, Thomas. 1 game over 500. So that is what's going on in the men's side. And then I'll take care of baseball. You can pick up women's basketball. Baseball, we only got one team that's really streaking right now. Troy was streaking. They had a 6-game winning streak. That
came
got
to a shutout end.
Georgia Southern started the season off 3-0, has since lost 4 games in a row. So they are the only team other than Arkansas State. They've lost 3 in a row as well. But Georgia Southern so far, they are the streaking team for baseball with 4 straight losses.
So on the women's side of things, there's one team laughing in the face of that Arkansas State record. Oh, ULM women's basketball is 1-13 in conference, 3-22 overall. They're on a 9-game losing streak. Oh, they haven't won a game in 10 games. And I don't think that they're going to win
When's
another
game.
When's
the last time they won a game?
Let's go back and look. I bet it's January.
Hit that calendar. It might even be before January, buddy.
It is January 16th.
Oh God!
And
over
here's,
a month.
Here's that. Ugh. 4 more.
So they're 1-0.
There's bad. More. Okay, since Thanksgiving,
they've only got 3 wins on the year.
Since you're right.
So it's a
rough. They have three wins on the year.
It's been a rough year in Monroe, Louisiana. So
it's awful.
But they are the streaking team, right?
They are one of them. The other one is at the very top. We literally just talked about them. We interviewed their coach last week. Coastal Carolina is on an 8-game winning streak at the top of the conference standings right now. Anything can happen in February.
That's solid.
And that's what's happening right now.
I mean, they were 5-2 in conference.
In Conway, yes.
And now they're 13-2.
Also worth mentioning, Arkansas State is on a 6-game losing streak. So, yeah, Arkansas basketball, not doing so hot
right
now.
What, they were basically 9-11 and 6-3 in conference, and now sitting at 6-9.
Yeah, they fell below 500. Let's go over to softball, to the women's diamond real quick. And we got two of them. Coastal Carolina back in it again. Coastal Carolina women on 8-game win streaks. What is it? Coastal Carolina softball, 8-game win streak.
8-game win streak for their softball team?
8-game win
Good
streak.
Good for you, Coastal.
You know what that means? They started the season 1-3, and they are now 9-3. That's
turned it
happened.
On.
That's exactly what happened. They turned it on. South Alabama has been struggling to find the on switch. They're 4-11. They lost 6 in a row. That means at the start of that, they were 4-5. Oof. Now they're 4-11. They've lost
they
6
had that
in a row.
We talked about that tough first week. Man, they played a lot of games this past weekend.
They did.
Straight losses for the Lady Jags.
But see,
huh?
they're literally looking like an on and off switch.
Yeah.
Their first 5 games, they lost.
Mm-hmm.
Their next 4 games, they won.
Mm-hmm.
Canceled game at Evansville.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you that would have been a win.
Mm-hmm.
And then another 6 games lost.
Mm.
Just, it can't catch a break. It's one or the other, and it's not going to stop.
Well, that is the streaking segment that we had here in the final word.
We streaked through it.
Streaked right through
it. I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. Can't come
so, no, that's going to do it for our episode tonight. Tuesday, by the way, you listen to this. Another fun week. We got another great interview with Shannon Rigger. Make sure you guys check that out here on Thursday. But no, we are the Bench Boys. I'm Colin.
I'm Thomas.
And thank you again for listening tonight. You can find us on Twitter at the OG Bench Boys. Just send us questions. If you guys want to hear something on the show, send us some questions, send us some advice, anything. If you just want to talk, we're there to talk.
Bench
to
Boys Hotline, 413-400-BOYS. That's 413-400-2697.
There you go. So if you want to call in, just leave a message, talk to us. Who cares? We might answer. But no, as it goes, we are almost to March Madness. And
we
that
are.
Means we are getting closer and closer to our favorite event, Thomas. We're going to create again for the second year in a row.
Let's do it.
We're going to do it again. We're going to open up a pool that everyone can join in. I think we had it on ESPN last year.
We did.
Create a bracket. I know we've got a couple weeks, but we're getting close. Create a bracket. Name your bracket with the name of the group of five team that you think goes the farthest, and then we'll just see who gets closest to what actually happens in real life.
So we're gonna go by your actual win loss, but the tiebreaker will be what team you select.
Yeah.
So
yeah, however many points, it's whoever has the most points at the end of the day, at the end of the tournament, and then if it's a tiebreaker, who picked the group of five team to go the furthest, right?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. And if we end up with two teams picking the same,
we'll
two
do
players,
a coin flip, just like the Sun Belt.
That's right. And the COSA used to do.
There you go. So again, thank you for listening tonight, and just be sure to tune in to the interview with Shannon Rigby. It's going to be a good time. So with that, Thomas, you got anything?
I'm good.
Come on back.